So, Greg, why did you decide to do 5-minute segments?
I never really decided to do them. It just kind of happened on the spur of the moment. I guess that was the decision. It was like, oh, go sit over there and do something with this. I'm like, okay, whatever, yeah.
So you're saying you got pulled into it?
I had no ideas about doing any of these 5-minute segments. No, I was just like, I have no ideas. Why bother doing it? I said, I'm not going to do anything until I have a good idea. And, you know, I never got a good idea. Nothing ever came to me, so I never did one. And one day, Richard used something from my TV show. He made that a 5-minute segment because he thought it was funny, which where I was asking Suzanne Taylor, where the hell did your damn money come from, babe?
Yep, that was a good scene.
And he made that a 5-minute segment, but that wasn't really a 5-minute segment. It was just part of my show. Mm-hmm. So, and then after that, so I figured that's my 5-minute segment, something I didn't have to plan for. It just happened on my show. And then, but then one time he said, why don't you and Paula sit down there and do some BS? And I said, okay, whatever. Did some BS with Paula, did some BS with Wicca, and then Savannah wanted me to do some BS with her, so I came in. I never really did a thing of my own. I never had any ideas. I have no ideas. You know, usually I'm an idea person, but not with this 5-minute segment thing. I haven't thought of one yet. I'm still waiting for for it to hit me.
So you just lend your talents to support other people then?
Well, I just had, you know, one thing off the TV show, one thing where Savannah wanted my help, and one thing where Richard said, why don't you sit down with me and Paul and do some stuff.
Well, didn't you and Jim do a couple together too?
Yeah. Did we do something together, Jim?
Yeah.
Judy.
You did some with Judy too.
Oh yeah, and then Judy said, "Come on, be with me." And I said, "Sure, whatever, baby." I never really did one on my own. It was always like in collaboration. Someone else wanted me to just jump in with them, like Jim or Judy or whoever else, somebody else.
All right, so Greg, you seem to have a love of art. You like to direct, sing in a band. You think you got that from your father, mother, grandparents, brothers?
No. Well, it wasn't from my grandparents, as far as I know. None of them knew what art was or music. I think they had some old Sinatra records. my parents, no. My mother, she's a writer, but I don't care. I don't like writing, so no. My parents had no musical love for music, really. A little bit, but not to make it. Just they liked listening to it a little bit, but you know, like most people do. But no, they never made art. They never liked art. They never made music. They never. My brother did influence me. He wanted to do music and. And then I kind of took over from him. He went insane. I kind of just lived out his life, pretty much. Did music, and if he hadn't gone insane, we'd probably be talking to him right now.
So you said you didn't like to write, but didn't you write the 3 movies that you've directed?
I wrote. I co-wrote the last 2 movies with Paula. The first movie was just like made up on the spur of the moment. It was nothing. There was no real writing. It was like, hey, what are we gonna say for this scene? Okay, let's say it. So it wasn't really. I mean, if you want to say who wrote the first movie, it was like 10 different people, which is not, you know, wasn't really written out. It was just, but yeah, no, I don't like doing it. I don't like doing it. I just did it to have a script. I thought it'd be better to have a script. I came to the conclusion after the first movie, might be better to have a script. You know, even though I don't like writing, it might be better. And it was better, so, and it was better for the third movie, too. I mean, I wouldn't want to do a Santa Monica production if there wasn't a good script.
That's right.
And so I went to all that work, and, luckily, then I met you, and I realized, wow, it's like kismet. You put all this effort in, and then you meet someone who would demand a good script. And you know, you would have said, "I'm not doing this movie. I'm not making it a Santa Monica production if there's no good script."
That's right.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So, Greg, what do you like to do best? Direct?
Talk to you, Jim.
Sing.
I would say talking to you is my favorite thing.
Okay, how about being serious? What do you like, direct, sing?
Being serious.
When is he ever serious? Anyway, what about the TV show? Isn't that your first love?
My first love? I think that was Amy Hersey. Couldn't get enough of her.
But I think what he's saying is, what do you like the best? Being the TV show host, being the movie director, or being the singer in Bad Ronald?
Well, if I had to choose, it would be... I mean, it's weird, but if I didn't have to practice with the band, I would choose singing in the band as the number one fun. Because it's a lot more fun. Directing, you got all these idiot actors mouthing off at you, you know? And going, ah,
No names are mentioned during this.
Well, you know, like Connie was mouthing off at me a lot.
Oh!
What? It's not a secret.
Okay.
Then she turned over a new leaf and we hit January and we stopped shooting.
So too bad you didn't have Ross around to be the best, most cooperative actor around.
Yeah, you're right. It was good that he wasn't there, Jim. He's painful. He's probably the most painful.
Do not. You don't manipulate me. You're trying to manipulate me.
It's called directing, you idiot. I've been doing it for 6 months. But, yeah, the directing's hard that way. And doing a TV show is very fun. But, if I choose one thing to do, the TV show, I'm just talking, you know? And everyone does that every day of their life, all day long. But you don't do as much singing in front of an audience with a live band, you know, as much as you do talking. Which is, yeah. So it's more of an exciting experience to sing. If I had to choose one of them, and I could actually do it every week, I would choose the singing. But, you know, my band's, you know, we're a bunch of losers. So we don't get any gigs. So it's like 3 gigs a year. So it's not like if it was 52 weeks. I'm doing 52 weeks a year. 52 weeks at the TV show and only 3 gigs a year. So I would choose the TV show because I'm doing it 52 weeks. But if I had to, you know, if I could do 52 weeks of gigs and 3 TV shows, then obviously I would pick the, it depends on quantity, too.
You know? So what happened what did you and your band do at Broadway Joe's that you got kicked out?
Well, we played our really horrible music that we play, and
wasn't the right venue, huh?
And they were like, "What is this horrible stuff?" I didn't think that would happen because Amanda Droz was doing most of the singing, and she's a good singer. And they still, even though she was singing lead, and I was just standing there, the guy hated us so much he stopped us in the middle of the set and said, "Get the hell out! And we don't want you here."
And what did he want? Something like country music?
He wanted Grateful Dead music, I think. I can't remember, or reggae or something. I don't know. But it was unbelievable that we were. I mean, I would have just thought, you were horrible, don't ever come here again. But kicking us off in the middle of the set, that was shocking.
Incredibly.
It is, but I guess we're so bad. I mean, the name is Bad Ronald, so it makes sense.
So, Greg, what did you learn in your New York City experience?
I learned that you want to get, when you're working at the World Trade Center, you want to quit working there before the bombs come. Because, you know, you don't want to stay there for too long. Because you might get hurt, you know. It got bombed a lot. It got bombed twice. So. Thank God I got out of the World Trade Center before I died.
Did you meet any famous people in New York City?
I did meet a lot of famous people. I met Hank Aaron, Home Run King. And
he did an episode of Happy Days.
Yeah, he did? I didn't know
he
that.
He did, yes.
And
To sell hammers. Yeah, Hammer and Hank, selling hammers.
Oh, like at Tom's...
Cunningham's Hardware.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Iggy the Stock Boy.
Well, they had. I met Hank Aaron, and he was. And my friend from Trinidad and Tobago was following him around. We were working at the World Trade Center bookstore, and it was brutal for Hank because the whole day this was like his liaison. The guy's going, "That guy, Hank, boy, okay." And so then when Hank left, he and Glenford and I went out. We walked him out. He had his handlers. It was handlers, Hank, me, and Glenford. And we were like, and he was, and Glenford just going, nah, 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 and Hank was like, I gotta get the hell out of here. But yeah, I met him and I met John Robinson and I met.
The football coach.
Yeah, I was really proud of myself. I saw him from behind. I just saw the back of his head. And being a big Rams fan, I said, "That's John Robinson." And he turned around, and it was John Robinson. I was like, "Wow, I'm someone of the Rams at the coach's head from the back. I know who it is in New York City." And then John Robinson, they said, "You have to pay at the front at the Carnegie Deli." And he just took out like a roll of like $100 and threw it on the table and walked out. So I guess if you're a millionaire, you don't have to go pay at the front. If you leave a $20 tip. Christopher Walken walked into me, but I didn't really meet him.
Yeah.
Who else was there? Vincent Bugliosi I met.
Mm. And the famous prosecutor.
Helter Skelter.
Yeah.
Helter Skelter.
It was weird. I was working at the bookstore, sitting there processing the books, and he was sitting on the floor looking in his folder for a while, looking through all his notes. And I was saying, this is weird. This guy put Manson away, and he's sitting next to me on the floor looking through his notes. I don't know. It really doesn't mean anything, but at the moment I was like, this is the guy that put Manson away, sitting next to me on the floor looking through his notes? It just seemed like, I don't know. There was nothing, but so I met him, and that's about it, I think.
But you didn't want to live there anymore, huh? Eventually, you said Buffalo's.
I wanted to come back and do. My band broke up. I went there with my band Chemical Number 5. We broke up, so I wanted to get a new band together. So at that point in my life, I just mentioned how singing is my favorite thing. Everything was equal. Well, I was really into it back then. I wanted to come back to Buffalo and get a band together. I hated the idea of having no band. You know, if you imagine not having a radio show, it would be painful.
Yeah, exactly. So speaking of which, your TV show, you tend to adapt the motif of a shock jock, you know, throwing insults and jabs at your guests as well as doing solid interviews. What made you adopt that type of motif over the traditional interviewing style?
It is my nature.
Is Howard Stern your idol?
No, I must Letterman.
Oh God,
Letterman's your idol?
Letterman is my idol. Yes, I. The same way that Letterman idolized Johnny Carson. Well, not the same way, but he idolizes Johnny Carson. I idolize him. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And.
Well, you should do top tens on your show then.
Well, not that far, but.
Did you ever try that though?
No, I was afraid to. Okay. It's only too much work making up a top 10 list. So these interviews aren't really about the 5-minute segments necessarily. They're just about you finding out the people who are doing the 5-minute segments, yeah. Right?
Okay. Absolutely.
You guys are both really solid interviewers, I must say. It's very impressive how solidly you're interviewing me.
Absolutely.
It's like it's like professionalism. It's unbelievable. Absolutely. I never experienced this before. It's fun.
Except
I've never been
here on my show.
Well,
the three or four times that you've been out.
Oh, of course. Except for those times, yeah, when I was on your show.
Exactly.
You were doing the same thing. You're like a rock solid interviewer.
Absolutely.
My favorite thing is when you say, when you ask a question, the person gives you a long answer, and you say, interesting. I love that. I can't get enough of that.
That's a Star Trek
thing. Great.
Did you ever,
fascinating.
Are you ever bullshitting them when you're saying, oh, this
hey,
is.
Hey, no, good. Keep saying that with your buddies, will you?
Hey, this is Greg's interview.
Yeah, don't be asking him any fucking questions during my fucking interview.
Yeah,
fucking jerk.
Oh, see, now you got him mad. You got him mad.
I mean, you're a nice guy, you. Not a fucking jerk. You're a wonderful human being.
Yeah.
You're a credit to your race.
Well, it's definitely an experience co-hosting your TV show. I will say that.
Okay, so.
Yeah, because you bring guests onto my show and then I upset all of them and they get pissed off. And they say, why'd you invite me over to this place?
No, actually, I haven't had that happen yet.
Oh.
So well, one person's father, but that's about it.
So, Greg, who would be the number one person you would want in a foxhole with you?
Oh, God.
It'd have to be
that's
Sal,
an interesting
right?
question.
Number one person in a foxhole?
Paula? Sal?
Hold on.
How about you, Jim?
No.
Foxhole? You mean it has to be a person who's alive?
How about Ross Renfola?
Yeah, Ross.
You have to be alive?
Yes.
Person has to be alive?
Yes.
I mean, it wouldn't do you any good to have a dead person in a foxhole with you.
Well, who's a great soldier? Whoever's a great soldier, I don't know, is Colin Powell or someone like that a great soldier? I would take whoever's a really good soldier, and whoever the number one soldier is in the U.S. Army, I guess I'd take them.
Okay.
You know, to cover myself.
So, Greg, do you foresee yourself moving on to become a real Hollywood film director, or do you think you'll stay with the low-budget video productions?
I don't see myself.
Do you have ambition of going further, like to Hollywood and stuff, or just
living in Hollywood?
Well, at least going out there to do projects.
I don't have that ambition, no. It seems like it's very ambitious. It sounds more like your style to be ambitious. I'm more like stay here, do my thing. I don't know. I'm not ambitious or driven, so I guess
each film has gotten better, so.
Yeah, well, we're ambitious to that. We're somewhat ambitious within this. Within the constraints of no-budget
productions,
digital video, so-called filmmaking, we're definitely getting better and better. But that doesn't mean we're gonna.
We have one movie at Mondo Video and one movie that ran on Offbeat Cinema, and the current film in production is going to be a big blockbuster.
Yeah, and you'll be in it. Hopefully, if you pass the cut, and Jim will be in it doing audio. Look forward to having you do the audio.
Oh, God.
Do you think you can handle that?
Yeah, I think I can handle that.
For the Jackie Katz interview?
The Jackie Katz interview,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so Greg, what's the first song you ever wrote?
That's a good question, Jim. First song I ever wrote was, it's called Midnight Music.
Okay.
When I was 8 years old.
Can you please sing some of it?
I'm trying to remember how it goes. Midnight Music, I was like,
Acapella, on the spot, no band.
I think it was, it's supposed to be about at midnight, so it's like knocking on a door, seeing somebody, midnight music. And then the B side was supposed to be called Idea. That was Idea, run down the street, got an idea, run up the street, got an idea, 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 yeah, idea. And then the third one was Band-Aid. I got a Band-Aid, I cut myself, I'm wearing a Band-Aid. That was the third one. Those are the three big songs I wrote when I was 8. Band-Aid, Midnight Music, and Idea. Little did I know that they'd be better than the later ones.
Okay, what was your favorite song?
Of all time that I wrote?
Yeah.
Probably Alone in a Two-Bedroom, because I wrote that by myself.
Sing a few lines.
Well, you know, this is going to be in a book, isn't it? This is not. Oh, this is the stuff on the internet, right?
Yes.
Yes.
No, not really.
Hey, he's honest.
But that's probably my favorite one, I guess. Because I wrote alone. I didn't write it with a... I usually, you know, I make something up, and then some stupid, idiotic, moron guitar player, bass player put some music to it. But in that case, I made up the melody or rhythm in my head. So, I'm sorry, Sale. Go ahead.
No.
So it was nice. It's really like my song, my favorite author is Robert B. Parker, and he writes Spencer for detective novels.
Right.
You ever heard of them?
Spencer for Hire?
Spencer for Hire,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, yes.
It's my favorite writer.
Great show.
Right. Robert Urich.
Right.
Yes.
And I love the books. And in one of the books, Spencer goes to he's on a case, and he goes to a place, and he's sitting alone in a hotel. There's two beds in it. And he says to himself, Alone in a Two-Bedroom. Wouldn't that be a great name for a country song? And so then I wrote, from that Alone in a Two-Bedroom, I wrote the song. And I wrote it about my brother and my parents. Because my father always said, they say you're lucky to be alive. He would say, you're lucky to be alive. And so we put that in the song. I put that in the song.
Well, and who's your favorite musician besides yourself in your band? Like, you've had a lot of bands.
In my band?
No, you've had a lot of bands and singers on your show. Who's your favorite local singer besides yourself and your own band, and who's your favorite national singer?
I would say the best local singers. There's so many good ones.
Yeah, there's Lisa Rose, there's Ellen Cameron.
No, not Lisa Rose or Ellen Cameron.
Matt Sirwick?
Not Matt Sirwick.
Uh-oh.
Amanda?
I like Amanda's vocals a lot. Amanda Jarosz. Yeah, she might be my favorite local singer in terms of singing. Her songwriting's not really that great, but her singing's excellent. So yeah, I do love Amanda's voice. So she's an excellent singer. Terry Sullivan's an excellent local singer.
And what about nationally?
They have to be alive.
No.
Frank Sinatra, right?
Well, if they don't have to be alive, I like John Lennon singing a lot.
Okay.
But I mean, if it's someone now who's still alive, it'd probably.
James McCartney.
Not James McCartney, but I like, for vocal-wise, I like Bono a lot. I mean, he's got a lot of pretentious, BS, and a lot, he does a lot of these, some of his lyrics are just like, it's just a cliche, and he puts it to makes it a song. So, I mean, his lyric, it's kind of like Amanda. Excellent singer, in my opinion, but the songwriting is not as good.
I see. Well, how do you feel about performing, about all your live performances, like at Mohawk Place and the Phoenix Theater and all that?
How do I feel about them? Yeah. Well, I must say I'm very good. Very, very good. And if people don't, unfortunately, people don't seem to see that, you know. You'd think, being as good as I am, I would at least have, get some gigs once in a while. But here I am, 40 years old, getting 3 gigs a year, and,
that many,
three big, I'd be more respected in terms of my singing and performing, but I'm not. It's amazing. I feel like I'm doing a good job, but...
Did a good job yesterday.
Well, okay, thanks. I mean, I don't get that many people... I don't get enough people to think I'm doing a good job.
Of us with real talent are always underappreciated.
Would you think if you promoted your
band... No, seriously, sir.
It would help.
I'm sorry, would I be demoted if I...
No, I say, it seems like if you... this is just my opinion. If you promoted the band, it would help, because you look at other people like Matt Sirwick. He does a lot of promotion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. We need to promote more. We're going to go to Philadelphia and play there, so that'll be good for us. It won't be promoting, but it'll be on the road. So.
Well, we're almost out of time, so thank you very much.
But when the buzzer rings, you still got a minute.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
All right, there it is. Okay, Sal, I'll give you the honor of closing.
Well, all in all, what do you think is your strongest point?
Sex appeal.
It's nice.
Everyone seems to want to touch me all the time. Just,
I don't know, so you got to close and thank them for coming.
Yeah, thank you very much for being here and giving us this wonderful interview.
It was very fun.
Yep.
It was very. I don't know why I put this off for so long. If I knows we had a tag team, that was awesome. Just to have a Mr. Sal interviewer and then Jim. It's really nice. It's excellent.
Well, thank you again.
It's like Mr. Sal interview and Mr. Question. He's like, he's never spoken a declarative sentence in his life. It's just all questions.
All right, well, we end this talk on an insult.
Declarative sentence!